It's good to have every one of you in here tonight. We're happy that we got a good report on Judy. She had a pacemaker installed, and hopefully that will be helpful to her. Tonight we're going to be studying, as I mentioned, the lesson, Man's Greatest Needs. And in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, the text is there, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then he said in verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles eat, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. As he said in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have so many distractions in life. But Jesus here is not saying not to plan for the future, not to give any thought to what we eat or what we drink, but don't let those thoughts consume you. Don't let those things overcome you. Don't be anxious about the very everyday affairs that we have in this life. But to seek God first. And when we do, he will bless us beyond measure. I believe that. So when we seek God as he would have us to seek him, we will be blessed both physically and spiritually. How much? I can't say that. But we're blessed more than we know. Sometimes we don't realize the blessings that we have. So we need to be content with the things that we have and be obedient to Christ and to seek his kingdom first. Now in the way of introduction, many say they need certain things. We've all said that. But they really don't need these things. They just want them. And so we need to come to a realization of what's really important. So many don't realize what they need. And many don't want what they really need. So tonight we want to talk about things that are important to us, what we need. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Is it not a man that walks to direct his steps? So man is incapable of correctly walking in a way that will please God. So God has revealed unto us his word so that we might know how to please him. Remember over in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25, Solomon said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when man tries to go against God's will, it turns out to be a disaster. And case in point is Paul over in Acts chapter 26 when he was before Agrippa. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the things that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceeding mad against him, I persecuted them into strange cities. So we see where Paul said that he was doing what he thought was right. He said there that he thought with myself, I barely thought with myself, I ought to do anything contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But later on we see that Paul was met on the road to Damascus, and he explained that as he was before Agrippa. And we see in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, that Paul said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. and profiting the Jews' religion above mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, neither I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. So Paul immediately, he received the Spirit of the Lord, and he didn't have to go and be taught things. And remember that he said in Galatians chapter 1 that what he had received was not after man. What he had taught was not after man. It was revealed to him by the Spirit. So he immediately went, as he said, and began to preach the gospel. And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul here refers again to his past. He said, "For I am least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle." Why? He said, "Because I persecuted the church of God." He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me, not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So Paul, by the grace of God, was shown the right way. Remember, his way was wrong, but he was persecuting Christians. It was disastrous to those that he persecuted. It was disastrous to the church. It would have been disastrous if Paul had not been rebuked by the Lord of the road to Damascus and had he not obeyed the gospel. Next, we see that Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Notice his own way, not the Lord's way. He has turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we need to realize that the way of God is the right way. When Jesus was preparing his apostles for his departure, he said in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, we referred to this morning, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, that were not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he alluded to two ways, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So in the context of our text, Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 33, and present some of the greatest needs that we have. I'm not saying we don't need physical things, but sometimes we let those get in the wrong priority. So let's consider the greatest needs that we have, the spiritual needs that we need to be focused on, and not let the physical things overturn the spiritual. First of all, man needs not freedom to do his own will, but he needs freedom from sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, Paul was thankful that they had obeyed the gospel. He said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Notice that. He's looking at it from a past tense point of view. That they were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form or pattern of teaching which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When did they become free from sin? Then, when they obeyed the gospel, when they obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching. Paul said in the first verses of that chapter, he said, he asked this question, he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And he said, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" He went on to say, he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, but like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. He said, for we have not been found together, or if we have been found together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we need to be free from sin, don't we? We need to be in a right relationship with God, because in verse 23, the last verse of that chapter, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, man needs not the wisdom of the world, but he needs spiritual understanding. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul prayed on behalf of the Colossians that they would be knowledgeable, they would grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he made an illustration here that the preaching of the cross was foolishness to those who did not accept it. And Paul said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the speaker of this world? Hath not yet God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I mentioned this morning, Stephen Hawking looked on as being wise, but foolish in God's eyes. Foolish in God's eyes. He did not have spiritual understanding. He may have understood physics and math and many things about the universe, but he failed to acknowledge the Creator. When he died, he met his Maker. Now that's scripturally certain. Next, we do not need a higher standing of living, but we need a higher code of conduct. Titus was told by Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 13, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, the grace of God teaches, the gospel, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7, Jesus said, therefore all things whatsoever ye would in it, that they should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets, what we know as the golden rule. So the way we want to be treated, we should treat others. That's a higher code of conduct. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh, or your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one hope, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. There he preaches unity and truth there. So we need to be of those who desire that higher code of conduct. Then we don't need better housing, but we need to be seeking the prepared kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus talked about when the king would come and separate the sheep from the goats, what did he say to those on the right? He said to those on the right that they would come and be blessed. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's a prepared place. In John chapter 14, verse 1 and 3, Jesus talked about this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, for not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the kingdom of God is a prepared place for people who have made preparation. We need to be seeking that prepared kingdom. We need housing. We don't deny that. We need if he's Jesus, a prepared kingdom. Next, we don't need more and better doctors, but we need to be seeking the great physician, Jesus. And over in Mark chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, the scribes and Pharisees saw Jesus eating with publicans and sinners. And they said unto him, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call sinners to repentance, or call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you think about and just review some of the things that Jesus did, he healed many, didn't he? In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, we see where Jesus healed the blind man. In Matthew 9, 1 through 8, we see where he healed the crippled man. In Mark 7, 31 through 35, he healed the deaf and dumb. And he healed those who had leprosy. And in Matthew 9, verse 18 through 25, he raised the dead. So he cured the sick, the lame, and the halt without a single dose of medicine. But he cures the physically or the spiritually ill, and we need to seek his cure. Now when John wrote his text over in John 3, he talks about when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And what did Nicodemus see that was notable about Jesus? He saw something in him. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles without this, except God be with him. So he needs to see that he had power over sickness and death. But Jesus used those miracles to illustrate that he was from God, as Nicodemus was alluded to, that he was a power from God. Next, we need not social justice, but justification. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Paul talked about how God has justified us. He said that he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, being more than, much more than being justified, now justified by his blood. He said we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we need that justification that is made possible by the blood of Christ. In James chapter 2, verse 21, the text there was says, well, they are not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered up Isaac his son on the altar, he said, seest thou how that faith wrought with his works, by works was faith made perfect. And he said that the scripture was fulfilled, it said Abraham believed God and was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He said that then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So by a working, obedient faith in God are we made just. We need to be seeking that justification. Next, we don't need a higher paying job. We need a rewarding life. Over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, Paul said, or Jesus said, but when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thus thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. So he drew an illustration from the scribes and Pharisees who did their deeds to be seen of men. Notice. Go back up to verses 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. They have a reward, but it's not the reward of their Father which is in heaven. He said, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory in men. Verily I say to you, they have the reward. Their reward is the glory of men, but not the glory of the Father. When we help individuals extent that it should be, because God wants us to do that, because God desires us to do that and see that evident. And Pat talked about this in Matthew chapter 25 this morning, beginning at verse 34. It said, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, prepare for the kingdom from you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and ye gave me no meat, or ye gave me, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Then he said, When saw they be sick, or in prison, or came unto thee? And the king answered and said to them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So, Pat talked about what least means. You help the downtrodden, so you can have a rewarding life, or the reward the eternal life, when you do those things. Next, you need to not seek for better working conditions, but to maintain good works. And Titus said in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, or Paul told Titus, he said, "This is a faithful thing, and these things I write, that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works." What are good works? He said, "These things are good and profitable unto men. The works that God has commanded," that's what the good works are, "the deeds that God would have us to do." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're to strive to do the will of the Father in heaven. When we do that, and when we do those things that are commanded of us as Christians, and we have the proper attitude that we should have, then it is that we're maintaining good works. And that's what we should see. Next, we don't need a shorter work week, but we need to abound in the Lord's work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." See, the Lord's work is not like a 8-hour job, 5 days a week. It should be a constant thing that we're doing, constantly focusing our attention on pleasing God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. Next, we don't need a better living, but we need a better life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." Remember, Paul said in Romans 6 that we're raised from baptism to walk in newness of life. In Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17, Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of their hearts, who being past seeing have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." He said, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know, when we're baptized into Christ, we're born again, aren't we? It's a new beginning. It's a new life. Therefore, we need to be seeking that better spiritual life. Next, we would like to have relief from high taxes. Just ask some of us through the tax season. But we need relief from worldly cares. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 31, from our text. Jesus said, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, he said, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, the Lord knows our needs, doesn't he? We just think we know. The Lord really knows our needs, and he'll provide us with those spiritual needs that we need, and physical needs. We read Matthew 11 this morning, where he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we can be relieved from the cares and burdens of a sinful world and our past life, and are obedient to God. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. He talked about those seed that fell among the thorns. He said, when they heard, they go forth and were choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring up fruit to perfection. So we need to be the seed that falls of honest and good heart that brings forth abundantly. So when we follow God's word, we need to realize that we'll be relieved from worldly cares of this life. We only need not material wealth, but we need to be seeking unsearchable riches. Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, unto me who am the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, God's word is something that many don't value, but those that do will receive the just recompense of their deeds, and we're all judged by Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, 3 through 5. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope, a hope that's not dead, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and the faith is not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. For everything in this life can be corrupted, can we? We have to build the best home. It's just not cared for. It's going to rot and corrupt. Anything in this life can be corrupted. It's not something that's incorruptible, like the crown of life that will be given to us, all that inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, it's reserved in heaven for you. If you ever had a reservation somewhere and you go, you think you have a reservation, you go there and you find out somebody messed up and you don't have a reservation when you thought you did. That ever happened to you? On 1st April, our reservation won't be canceled. If we're not, it will be. So we need to be seeking the unsearchable riches of Christ. Next, we don't need to be seeking self security, but spiritual security. Spiritual security. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, Peter wrote this. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby given to us seek exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature. Do we want to be partakers of the divine nature? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, to make you that you're going to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said in verse 9, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In verse 10, he says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, he said, you shall never fall. Spiritual security. When we are obedient to God, when we add to our faith, these other seven virtues, we continually add them and strengthen those, we'll not fall. We'll not fall. When we fail to do that, we will. He says, for so no entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Next, we don't need better health care, but we need soundness in faith. Soundness in faith. In Titus chapter 2, Paul said there, he said, in verse 1, he said, but speak thou things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, keepers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's the type of soundness we need. That's the type of soundness we need. And finally, we don't need friends. We need to be a friend of Jesus. We're singing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Are we really his friend? What does it take to be his friend? And Jesus says in a very simple statement, you are my friends if you do what the other I command you. So in conclusion, only God knows our spiritual needs, doesn't he? He knows them. He's revealed them to us. He supplied all our needs. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is all variableness, neither shadow of turning. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And finally, I appeal to you to read with me Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. We need to heed his instructions. We need to seek his kingdom. We need to seek those things that are above, don't we? What Christ said, because Paul said in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, he said, if he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ said, on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then he shall also appear with him in glory. Let us seek those things that are above. So the things we talked about tonight are things that are above, but they're not things of the earth that we need to be truly seeking. Blessed is yours. You're going to be subject to the Lord's invitation. We've announced number 6, which was